Hey everybody, thanks for joining me today for my talk about the AR cloud, why it's the future of MR as a device. Not a device, it's all of them. I'm Jesse McCulloch. I've been doing HoloLens development for about 3 years now, pretty much since the beginning. I got here by watching Alex Kipman get up on stage one day and unveil the HoloLens. And my mind was blown. I couldn't believe it. I watched the whole presentation, thought there's no way this thing's real. Then I got online and a bunch of tech bloggers that I follow got to go down and try it. And they convinced me that it was real and I was in. I set up a bunch of alerts on my news feed, started reading anything and everything about mixed reality that was coming out, or Windows Holographic at that time. And then they put out a call for developers who were interested in dev kits. So I went and filled out the application. There was about 5 questions on there, all to the gist of what awesome things you're going to build with the HoloLens. And I had no idea. This was all new to me. I had never done any 3D or spatial stuff. So I pretty much said, I don't know, to all 5 questions. And pretty much thought, there's no way I'm ever getting one of these devices. Lo and behold, in February, I get an email that says, congratulations, you're a Wave 1 developer. We're going to get you on the list right away. And I went, holy crap, now I have to find $3,000. I decided that I was going to try and come up with an idea for building apps for the HoloLens. Racked my brain, thought, I don't have any good ideas for building on the HoloLens, so I'm not going to get one. Talked to a couple people and came to the realization I didn't have to have cool ideas, I just have to learn how to build for it, and then I could build other people's cool ideas and still make a job out of it. So I bought a HoloLens and started doing development just in my spare time, and realized that there was not a community out there for HoloLens development at the time. So I went in and created one. I had been a part of a few other Slack communities and decided that that's where I'd start. So I created a Slack community, got a cool little auto-register website, and started throwing it out there on Twitter, and all of a sudden Alex Kipman found it, retweeted me, and then I went from having about 10 members in my group to about 200 in a matter of a week, which is awesome. And now we are up to a little over 1,700 members as of this week. So a very active community, all developer-driven, helping each other out. It's really awesome. About February of this last year, I decided that I was going to become a freelance HoloLens developer. So I went part-time at my job. And then in June, I went full-time doing that. And then about October, I got approached by my current boss, whose name is Michael Reed, with Practical VR, and we are building the AR cloud. So that's kind of what I'm up to now. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I also host and put on a mixed reality developer summit. We had our first one in February. I had about 30 developers out to Microsoft's Redmond campus, and it was super successful, and we're doing another one in August. So if anybody's interested in that, definitely reach out to me. We've got tickets available. I'm also doing some planning with the mixed reality team at Microsoft for Build 2018, putting together a really good mixed reality content. So more on that to come as well. You can find me via any of my social media or email there. I'm pretty prevalent on all of them, really active. So yeah. The AR cloud, or MR cloud, or XR cloud, or whichever acronym we're using today, it's going to change. There's going to be a convergence. But there's a lot of people who haven't really put any thought into what the AR cloud is, or even know what the AR cloud is. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. Right now, AR is a very interesting experience. There's some really good things. It's amazing technology, the HoloLens. Probably a top-tier device in AR right now. puts digital content in your real world, allows you to interact with it. It knows about all the different stuff in your world, and it's a lot of fun. Super amazing technology. Some of the good things about it, there's no experts in it yet. We've only been doing it a couple years. There's only a few thousand of us that are super actively doing anything with it. And so it is still a great time to get into this if you haven't yet and you're interested. There is nobody that's cornered the market. There's still a ton of ideas that haven't been explored. And there's a lot of room for new people in it. So that's some of the good things. Some of the bad things about AR at the moment. Varying hardware levels. You have things, again, like the HoloLens, top tier. Developer device is $3,000. Keeps a lot of people out from doing it. And then you can go all the way down to phone AR, where you're holding it up with your cell phone, ARKit AR Core. Super accessible. Everybody's got a phone these days. A lot of them are capable of doing it. But a lot of the capabilities that are built into the HoloLens here aren't available. And so as a developer, you have to think about that. You have to think about what am I building it for, what can it handle graphics-wise and processing-wise, and how do I build a great app experience around it. It's definitely not mainstream. Again, there's a few thousand people maybe doing HoloLens development, so it's hard to find other people to bounce ideas off of. If you're an enterprise .NET developer, you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of resources out there. If you are a HoloLens developer, you have dozens and dozens of resources out there. Something that we're actively working on changing as more and more people get involved, especially with the advent of the immersive headsets, get into it a lot cheaper. Development's roughly the same for those in the HoloLens, with a few considerations. The bad, same as the good, there's no experts. So you can come across a problem and be the only one that's come across that problem, and there's not very many people that can help you out with it. So that's kind of a double-edged sword there. There's not a lot of experts that you're competing with, and there's not a lot of experts that can help you out. We get to the ugly. The ugly about AR is it's a very lonely experience. I put on my HoloLens at home, and I'm going through a game or an experience, and my girlfriend walks in. All she sees is me walking around going like this. She has no idea what I'm doing, so there's no way for her to take part in it. There's very few experiences that will let you hook two HoloLenses together, but now you've got a $6,000 investment instead of a $3,000 investment. So it's not very easy for a lot of people to get involved. The ugly is what we want to change. We want AR to be a experience that anybody can get a hold of, anybody can take part of. And so what we have to do with that is bridge the gap of devices and experiences. So how do we get there? What's the next steps? The next step that my company Practical is taking is we want to spatially map the world. We want people to help us do it. So what we're doing is we're building an experience that developers can put in front of their app. Now they don't have to build a mapping experience. You let us handle that. So you put it in front of your app, you put your app together and publish it. And now when the user puts it on, they go through our mapping experience. We guide them around the room, make sure they're getting a good clean map. And then after they've got a good clean map, it gets uploaded to our server. Now if there's 12 developers who have apps that all use our mapping experience and somebody has already mapped the space that you're in with one of those other apps, we can detect that and we can say, hey, you don't have to map this room. We've already got it. Here you go. And that's kind of the incentive we have to have people map for us using our service, is that as more and more of these maps get into our service, fewer and fewer people will have to do mapping. Why are maps helpful? Maps are helpful because it allows digital objects to interact with your physical space, and it also helps us to make it more accessible to other devices. So if I've mapped with the HoloLens and have a common knowledge of the world space, and I can give that to an AR kit phone and it can understand the world the same as the HoloLens does. Now I can say put a hologram on that bench, and the AR kit phone can say, I know where that bench is, so I can see that hologram there too. Now it's less of a lonely world for AR. Once we get past maps, we can start figuring out what objects are, and this is off in the future. We're not quite there with the technology yet, but with machine learning and better sensors, we'll be able to do things like say, oh, I understand that this is a bench, or I understand that this is a table. The nice thing about that is that when you look at a space, you can look at it and say, okay, some of these structures are permanent structures, and some of these things are temporary or can be moved around. A table can be easily moved around. A wall, unless you're doing construction, is not so easily moved. Once we can start categorizing that kind of stuff, it gets a lot more interesting with what you can do, because you can say, place something on any table that you can find in the space, or on any bench, have a character in my game sit down on it, and not have to actually pre-map and figure that stuff out. Now, beyond maps and objects, then we start getting into actions. This is way down the road. But once we have an understanding of our physical world in a digital sense and the objects in it, we can start inferring actions. And you get into some interesting concepts of being able to reward people for doing stuff based on what they've got going on in their physical world. So say the city of San Francisco decides that they're going to make an initiative to help clean up their parks. And at this point, instead of a big HoloLens, everybody's got AR glasses that they're wearing around all the time. Now that we know the physical world, we know where you're at, you're in the park, and we know that there's objects like a trash can, and we can see that you reach down, pick something up off the ground and put it in the trash can, the city of San Francisco can go, hey, I'm gonna reward you with a quarter for every piece of trash you pick up. Now you've got incentive to start picking up trash as you walk by it, because it didn't take any really extra effort, and you can start getting rewarded for your actions based on the technology knowing what you're interacting with in the world. So that's kind of where we're going with this technology. Again, it's a lot of fun. The use cases actually really start to kind of stand out for themselves after you really start thinking about this. A store could go in and digitally map and allow you to put your shopping list into their app. And when you get to the store, you fire it up, and they show you a trail on the ground how most efficiently to go get all your groceries. And it'll be custom for everybody based on their shopping list and what they know is in their store location-wise and everything. Starbucks app. Go into Starbucks, they could display their digital content in there, and it doesn't matter if you're wearing a HoloLens or you've got an AR kit phone or any other device. Those same digital objects will show up in the same physical space regardless. So the possibilities are really, really interesting as you start thinking about this. So with our service, once you fire it up and you start mapping, we are creating point clouds with that mapping and storing that up in our cloud. And this is kind of what those look like. So those first two are a coffee house in Santa Clara called Hana House. These two are my hotel room that I mapped last night, actually. And then this was the airport in Portland when I was waiting for my plane. We can actually see the windows looking out over the tarmac and everybody waiting because our flight was delayed by 2 hours. So we have a mapping experience, again, that's guided. So when people put it on, little tokens show up and we say, hey, look at this token. And it disappears as you collect it. And then another one spawns and we have a little wisp that leads you around. It's pretty awesome. We're going to be launching here in the next couple of weeks a contest for our mapping experience. So if you've got a HoloLens and you want to be involved, make sure and reach out to me. We're going to be rewarding people based on the number of maps. We have a leaderboard and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as we collect more and more of this map data, we can start analyzing it and running some machine learning stuff on it. And it's going to be a bright future. I was talking to the guys over at Channel 9 earlier, and they were asking about what I see being the future of this stuff and how long it's going to be. And we look at it and you can say, this is a 10-year technology. It's going to be 10 years out, and you can wait for it to happen. We decided to look at it and say, we're going to start building it today. And hopefully in 2 or 3 years, we get to where most people think it'll be in 10 years. And in 5 years, we'll be the leader in the market. Does anybody have any questions? So right now we are limiting it to HoloLens only because it's got the best sensors right now. As other devices come to market, we'll be working on those. And then also ARKit and ARCore are planned for us as well, once we're able to figure out how to turn the SLAM into a better point cloud. Great, thank you guys.